Welcome to the Asbury First United Methodist Church Weekly Sermon. We hope you enjoyed this message by Stephen Cady. For more information about this podcast or other ways to connect, please visit asburyfirst.org.
On this day of birth and rebirth, this day of Pentecost and confirmation, this day in which we attempt to breathe new life into an old institution, it seems only fitting that we pause for a story. Praying, of course, that as we listen, we might see that same spirit that rolled over the people on that first Pentecost roll over us again today. So, imagine with, put on your imagination caps with me, bring, ding, 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 and travel with me, if you will, to Orchestralia, a land known for one thing that is centered around one thing and one thing only, music. Everything in Orchestralia is centered around music. And it doesn't take more than a walk down the street to recognize just how much people love music. Signs of it are everywhere. Literally, the buildings, the streets, the homes are all decorated with musical staffs with little bits of songs on them. They are beautiful, like Graceland, but everywhere. No baby is born without receiving at least one musical instrument, sometimes two or three, and no child moves from kindergarten to first grade without knowing the difference between 4-4 and 6-8 time, between a G major and an E minor scale, between the tonic and the rest of the chord. Music was their life. In Orchestralia, there were entire television and radio networks dedicated to conversation about subtle nuances between different types of music, from hip-hop to polka. No music left undiscussed. Of course, as in most little worlds, not everyone was into music. There were some people who resisted it, especially those who grew up in very musical homes. It was not uncommon to find a moment of wandering, to push away from music, to pretend as though they forgot the fingerings to their favorite instrument, as if they could. But most of them eventually found their way back. Maybe there was something going on in their life that they thought music could help with, or more often, they wanted to make sure their children had the experience of music until, of course, they could decide for themselves whether or not to be a musician. Fortunately for them, there were institutions there to help in Orchestralia. One institution in particular, an ancient musical institution founded by musicians themselves, those who knew the power, the life-changing power of a song, who called music the universal language because they recognized that everyone could hear it in their own way. Of course, these institutions began in the homes of those musicians themselves, but through the centuries had grown. Now they were big, beautiful buildings decorated with all sorts of musical symbols. And people came to them. There were some small and some large, just a few in every town. And people would come week after week for a little respite from the rest of the week, for a moment to sit and contemplate music, to sit and hear about music. They even paid someone to speak to them each week about the importance of music making, about the power of music making. They called that person the maestro. Of course, not everyone went to the same ancient musical institution. No, no, no. A Seventh-day flutist wouldn't be caught dead amongst the United Trumpeters. Too much dissonance between them, even though deep down they sort of understood that there was more that connected them than divided them. That's the thing, in that world of Orchestralia, there was, no matter what institution they went to, at least one thing everyone held in common. See, in that world, for as much as they talked about how much they loved music, For as much as they went through the intricacies of theory, they understood the fingerings, they talked about breath support, there was one thing that the world of Orchestralia lacked. Music itself. There was no music in this musical land. Not a note could be heard. No one was ever sharp or flat. There was no harmony or dissonance. No one ever messed up because there was never anything to mess up. There was never any music. There were stories, of course, of people who sometime down the road, some ancient years back, who dared to pick up their instrument and play. But it had been so long that most people relegated it to mere fantasy. Maybe just like those people who started that ancient institution, those musicians were out there, but nobody really knew anything about them. And over the years, even in that ancient institution, the musicians were eventually replaced by theorists, people who could talk a lot about music, but rarely played it themselves. And as such, those harmonies that once provided the soundtrack to life were eventually relegated to mere notes on a page and stuffed into a big book of musical scores that most people had, but almost never anyone ever used. Sure, that maestro, the person they paid to speak to them each week about the importance of music making, would claim that there were that was still possible to pick up an instrument, that if they were thinking, they could do it. And sometimes the maestro was so powerful that they all walked out of that week committed to picking up their instrument in the week ahead, knowing that this would be the week when they would do it. But no one ever did, not even the maestro. And that's how things might have remained in the world of Orchestralia, had it not been for one brave group of young people. Now, in that ancient musical institution, as so often happens, there were certain rites of passage that had arisen over the years that almost everyone wanted to participate, regardless of how connected they were to that institution. Everybody wanted their children to stand up and receive their first big book of musical scores, or to watch as they cleaned their instrument for the first time. They would love to just give everyone that necklace with the little treble clef on it and slap them on the back, tell them how proud they were that they had taken that next step towards being a musician, only no one ever played. Of course, this was something that parents chose for their children, and so in some of those institutions, there became a moment at a certain age at which some young people were asked whether or not they wanted to commit to music themselves, whether they were ready to take on the life of being a musician, whether they were ready to confirm the choice their parents had made for them, which was how it came to be called confirmation. Now, truth be told, even confirmation in that world of Orchestralia had eventually become perfunctory. They would come to the classes, learn about the importance of playing an instrument, learn how important music was, talk about what it was like to live life as a musician, and then finally get to the end where they could stand in front of everyone, say what they needed to say, and then move on, never to step foot in that musical institution again, until, that is, they were ready to subject their own children to the misery. They may have passed down that big book of musical scores between family members, but that was about it. And so it went year by year, generation by generation, until one day, when nearing the end of a confirmation process, as they were all seated, gathered around a trumpet that the teacher was giving an intricate lesson about, talking of how wonderful it was, the how beautiful the sound a trumpet make could be, about all of the fingerings, that finally one of the students, bravely, after having heard about this all year, just decided to ask a question that had been on her mind. "Teacher," she said, "do you think we could play it?" "Play it?" the teacher said. "Well, I don't know. No, nobody's ever asked that before. Let me look into it, and I'll get back to you next time." At which point, another confirmand decided, "Yeah, we've heard so much about music playing, but none of us have ever heard any music. How about we just try to play?" "Okay, try to play? That's not how music works, buddy. You gotta spend some time understanding how it works, getting the basics, getting the foundation before you just go out and try and play. No more talk about playing music, okay? Today, let's just stick with the lesson. We have a lot to get through before confirmation." That night at home, the young woman who had begun the conversation was telling her parents about the question she had asked, at which point, embarrassed and very surprised, her dad said, "You asked to play the trumpet? You know we don't play those instruments. We talk about playing those instruments." "Right," said the young woman. "Don't you think that's a little weird? I mean, why don't we play? I mean, don't you guys believe in music?" "Believe in music?" said her mother. "Of course we believe in music," pointing to the wall filled with musical snippets. "That's the reason we take you to that ancient institution every single week. We believe in music." "Well, then why don't you play any music?" the young woman asked. "I don't know," said the mother. "Why do you have to be so difficult?" "Maybe we could just send you to the maestro. I'm sure he'll have an answer for you." Which was how, the next day, the young woman found herself seated in an opulent office filled with almost nothing but musical cymbals, staring at the maestro, who began, "So, I hear you've been asking about wanting to play your instrument." "Yeah," said the young woman. "You know, it's so weird. Some of the other confirmands and I were just talking about how all we do is talk about playing music, but no one ever wants to play." "You don't have to tell me," said the maestro. "Story of my life. Week after week, all I do is tell people that they can play their instrument, but nobody ever wants to play." "Well," said the young woman, "do you play?" "Do I play?" said the maestro. "Let's just say I know how to play every instrument in the orchestra. Plus, and you know that big book of musical scores? I've read it twice. And I'm not sure if you noticed all the degrees around the office, but I've done quite a bit of schooling on the subject." "That's not what I'm asking," said the young woman. "Well, looks like we've reached our time. I'm really glad I could help you out. See you at confirmation on Sunday. Bye." The young woman walked out of the office more confused than she began. She struggled for the next couple of days, really thinking back over every musical lesson she'd ever had, but all she could really think about was one question that weighed on her mind. How could she commit to being a musician if she never played music? How could she commit to being a musician if she never played music? How could she commit to being a musician if she never played music? And it was that question that was echoing in her mind as she stepped forward for confirmation that next Sunday morning. And as the maestro began that ancient liturgy, the same liturgy that her parents had heard, that their parents had heard, that their parents had heard before them, the same questions: will you commit to being a musician? Do you believe in music? Will you, with the great composer's help, live your life as a musician? She couldn't help it. She just decided to take a step forward. And everyone came to a halt as they watched her take a step forward. The maestro tried to go on, but as she kept walking, everybody grew silent. She found her way over to her trumpet, and for the first time, picked it up A gasp was heard across the congregation as they watched as she placed it to her lips and blew. There came a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind, and nothing else. Turns out it was different to try and play than it was to just talk about playing. And so the young woman paused for a moment and she thought back over every lesson she'd ever had about breath support, about embouchure, about fingerings, and she placed it to her lips, and this time she blew, only a sound came out. Nobody would say it was pretty. But after not having heard music for centuries, it was beautiful. So excited was the young woman that she took a deep breath and was ready to offer another note. Only when she did, she was joined by other sounds, imperfect sounds from all the other confirmants who decided to grab their instruments, to pick them up and to shout them out into the world, to put their air through them, to take all those lessons they had learned and put them to use. And there came a cacophony of sound that rolled over the congregation. And suddenly there was something like a spirit that took over in that space. And the world of Orchestralia was never the same. Turns out, sometimes all we need to be brave enough to pick up our own instruments and play is someone to show us that it's possible. Who knows, friends? Maybe on this day of birth and rebirth, this day of Pentecost and confirmation, this day in which we attempt to breathe new life into an ancient institution, if we're listening, we just might hear a trumpet. The question is, are we listening? Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Asbury First Weekly Sermon. If you enjoyed this message, please visit asburyfirst.org and learn more about our mission to love God and neighbor, live fully, serve all, repeat.